is so good to be together this morning, and I just want to extend a special welcome to anybody that is new, who is visiting with us. Maybe this is your second or third time coming back. We are so thrilled that you are here. My name is Julie Alsop, and I am one of the pastors here at Faith. And again, it's just an honor to be with you as we worship the Lord this morning. I feel like I've got to save my voice because I've been singing. Woo! Thank you for worship. Thank you. Woo! It's good. It's good. See, it's all good, and then you got to get up and talk. Cell phones have radically changed the way that we are available to each other. We're going to go back down memory lane a little bit. Back in the day, we didn't have cell phones. I know that's hard to believe. The phone was attached to a wall. Can you imagine? And it had a really long cord. So if you were in the kitchen, right, and some of you may remember doing this or seeing your mom, doing the dishes and cooking, you'd have this super long, long cord. And then there were also like these desk phones that you would set somewhere, and it had just a really long cord that you could kind of move that from room to room. And I remember doing that in the rooms upstairs. You know, you want to talk to your friends on the phone, so you just kind of pick up the phone, and then you take the cord, and then you shut your door, or maybe you go in your closet so nobody can hear you. And then if you wanted to have a three-way call with somebody, you would just pick up one receiver in the kitchen, maybe in another room, and then you could talk to that other person. See, it was all highly sophisticated back then. And then when a person was using the phone and someone else tried to call in, they'd get a busy signal, right? We remember that busy signal. We'd be frustrated, couldn't get through, and it was so frustrating. And then caller ID was not a thing at the time. It was not a thing at the time. And you never knew who was calling you in those days. It was risky. It was risky. And if you didn't answer, it went to an answering machine, right? We had a whole nother answering machine, and you could screen your calls through the answering machine. And then the telephone companies, they somewhat solved some of these issues by creating call waiting. And then you could put somebody on hold and say, oh, hold on, I'm getting another call. And then what happens is you're rude to the other person on the other line. Maybe you were on the other side of that. You're like, okay, well, I guess they don't want to talk to me because we've just put them on hold for someone else. And then along came the cordless phone, right? We thought, oh my gosh, this is it. We're not tied to a cord. We can walk anywhere in the house, and that was a big deal. And then here we are today. Can you hear me now? Right? We think of that Verizon commercial. Can you hear me now? We live in a world where there's no busy signal. We can see who is calling us. We can be reached at any time or anywhere if our phones are on. There's a trick with that. And people talk on their phones or their headsets. There's all these different contraptions now that you can be hands-free talking, and you can talk anywhere, any place. And many of you have probably experienced this at the grocery store. You know, I'm at Kroger's or Meijer's, wherever grocery shopping. I think somebody's talking to me. But they're having a conversation with somebody in some kind of wireless device, and then I feel stupid because I'm like trying to answer a question. They're not talking to me. And then the best is, and I don't know if you've experienced this too, you walk into a public restroom. Someone's having a full-on conversation while they're sitting on the toilet. Don't be that person. Don't be that person. We have cell phone plans that have unlimited talk and text, and for some unlimited data. We have unlimited access. And our greatest frustration nowadays, it's not when the signal is busy or, you know, we're attached to a cord. It's when we don't have service or our calls drop. We have a Savior who is available to us. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? The line is never busy. He knows our caller ID. He never puts us on hold to take another call. And his calls never drop. And there's always service, no matter how remote our location is. Can you hear me now? This morning, I want to share a passage with you from the book of Hebrews, and it's from the 4th chapter. We're going to start at the 14th verse. I want you to hear these words. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to the confession. For we do not have a high priest who was unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tested in every way as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us at the proper time. Now, this letter was written to the Hebrews. And just to kind of give you some context, the role of the priest was significant to them. The priest was a bridge for people to God. He was a middleman. And the priest would enter the tabernacle, a place of the dwelling of God's presence. And God's presence back in this time would reside in the Ark of the Covenant. I want you to join me as we go off the grid, so to speak, and enter into the tabernacle. We've got an image up here, and I just want to share a little bit of this with you, and I want you to, again, just kind of in your minds, just kind of go with me into the tabernacle as we describe, as we go in. So we're entering into the tabernacle, and as we enter, we see the light of candles burning to our left. And we feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place. And then on the right, we notice there's a table with 12 loaves of bread. And then we smell the incense burning. And we feel prayers being lifted up as we are in the tabernacle. And then the incense, it's located directly in front of the veil in the center of the tabernacle. We know what a veil looks like. And there we see the incense burning. And behind that veil is the Holy of Holies, the most sacred and holy place, the dwelling place of God. You see, it is only the high priest who can enter the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement. And we find our way out of that tabernacle feeling just a little bit empty, just a little bit empty. You see, we fast forward. God sent his Son into the world, the one who performed miracles and healings, who was a teacher, who was approachable, who was available, the one who died on the cross to save the sins of the world, Jesus the Christ. You see, we have a great high priest who has ascended to heaven, who is available to all. You see, the Holy of Holies is available to everyone. There's nothing to separate us from God. We have full access to God because of Jesus. Verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who is unavailable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tested in every way as we are, yet without sin. You see, Jesus was both human and divine, something that we cannot put our earthly minds around. There's a quote by William Barclay that says, Jesus is the perfect high priest because he is perfectly God and perfectly man. Because he knows our life, yours and mine, he can give us sympathy, he possesses all mercy and grace. He brought God to humankind and he can bring humankind to God. In his humanity, he experienced human emotion, sorrow, suffering, hunger, pain. He was able to sympathize with our weaknesses. He knew what it was like to be tested, yet he never sinned. Jesus spent 40 long days in the desert, and it was hot, like August in the South, hot. Hot, 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 and there was nothing to eat, no well to draw water from. His skin was scorched from the sun, and his earthly body was weary. And if the conditions weren't bad enough, he had an unwanted visitor show up, an unwanted visitor to show up and to tempt him. We have a glimpse of his temptation from Matthew's perspective found in the 4th chapter. The tempter said, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Jesus responds, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from God. He then took Jesus to the highest point of the temple and said, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. Jesus responded, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And then he said, I will give you the world if you bow down and worship me. And Jesus responded, away from me, Satan. We know what it's like to be in the desert when we're tired and weary and trying to balance our lives. Is the tempter taking away your confidence, whispering in your ear, you're not good enough? Maybe tempting you with power, maybe inflating your egos to pit you against each other. How does he tempt you? We have a great high priest who understands. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tested in every way as we are, yet without sin. Who has the authority in your life? When I grew up in elementary school, and this is fitting since we're back to school, it was grade K through 6. That's how it was set up. So K through 6. And throughout my childhood, I was extremely shy. In class, I would only speak when I was called upon, and then when I was called upon, I could barely speak. Mrs. Wetzel was the principal in my elementary years, and I never really knew her, but I knew that I wanted to avoid her, and I had a fear of her and her authority. You see, she had a wooden paddle in her office, and I had never wanted to encounter that wooden paddle. I had heard stories. Are you with me? Nobody wanted to see. Nowadays, there is no wooden paddle, but back in the day. And then when I transitioned to junior high, which was 7th, 8th, and 9th grade at that time, Mr. Beckley was the principal. And he was friendly, and he noticed my shy self. He asked if I'd like to work in the office to help out. And he saw something in me that I didn't see. He helped build my confidence and helped me to come out of my shy self. He was approachable. My view of authority as a child changed from fear and avoidance to approachability and comfort. You see, Jesus is the ultimate authority of our lives, who desires for us to draw close to him. He is approachable. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us at the proper time. We have a great high priest who is approachable. He is seated on the glorious throne of grace. And we aren't to approach him with a spirit of timidity or fear or trembling, but with boldness and confidence. It is at the throne that we receive mercy and that we find grace just when we need it. When have you experienced the mercy and the grace of God? Many of us know that life is about giving and receiving. It's about giving and receiving. And how do we extend that same mercy and grace to others? Last week, Dwayne was with us in this service, and he spoke about this 21-day challenge to change our behavior and ultimately our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And the challenge is to not complain, not to criticize or gossip. And some of us have signed up for this challenge, and we are wearing a purple bracelet, and I have mine on today. And what we're supposed to do for these 21 days, if we do one of these three things, that we have to switch our band to the other wrist to bring an awareness of that we've done one of those things. We've either gossiped, we've criticized, or we have complained about something. One of the beautiful things about live stream is I was able to then watch this. On Sunday, because obviously I was in the other service. And so Monday morning, he greeted me with my bracelet, and I said, I want to take this challenge. And within an hour, I had to switch arms. And I've been switching arms every day since. But that's okay. That's okay. You see, it's brought an awareness of how we see others as God sees them. Our interactions can easily lead to gossip, complaining, or criticism. And most times, it's about a person, right? We're upset with somebody, something that they have done to us. But how are we seeking the Father, seeking God, before we speak? How can we stop and think before we speak to seek God, to be more thoughtful, to be more graceful, to be more merciful before we speak? You see, our words are a final inspection of sorts as we are in this Character Under Construction series. A final inspection of sorts. We know that what happens when we squeeze the toothpaste out of the tube, right? It's out. You can't put it back in. There's no putting that back in. And our words are like that. Once the words are out, you can't put them back in. So can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? What are you saying? How are you saying it? When are you inviting God into your thoughts before they come out of your mouth? We receive mercy and grace at the throne. How are you extending that mercy and that grace to others? It's about changing our behavior. It's about changing our behavior and seeking the Father and being more of the person that he calls us to be, right? We want to be Christ-like in our behavior through our words and through our actions. Dwayne is back here with us today and can answer any more questions about that. He may have a couple bracelets left if you missed that last week. The idea is when you switch arms, you start over. And I think he shared it took 8 months. 8 months. Before he could get that. I just maybe 8 or 9 months. I don't know. It's hard, you know, when you think about it. But the idea is how we are in relationship with God, right? It's not just about saying, okay, I just want to try to stop doing this. There's a reason that we're doing this. So what an honor and something fun for us to do as a congregation, right? To encourage one another. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Won't you join me? God, we come before you this morning. And we are reminded this morning that words matter. And we seek your word through the Bible. And your word is filled with love and acceptance and forgiveness. Lord, help us to be cognizant of how our words affect others. How to speak truth and love, to speak love through action, to think before we speak. God, you also tell us this morning that we are to approach your throne with boldness. Lord, to come before you. And Lord, for some of us, it has been a challenging week. It's been a challenging month. Some of us have gone back to school. Some of us have lost loved ones. Some of us here have loved ones in the hospital. Some of us have loved ones here that are in the dying, transitioning process. Some of us here are also experiencing some health issues. God, you know what is going on in this place with your people. And God, we come before you now and we approach your throne with boldness and confidence. That whatever it is that we are dealing with in this moment, God, that you are with us every step of the way. And we thank you that you are approachable because we need you. God, we thank you for this mercy and grace that you extend upon us. And God, may it change us in such a way that we would then extend that to others. May your spirit fall afresh on us here. I pray these things in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, Amen.